All right, 7 p.m. I'd like to begin the call to order. The regular scheduled council meeting for agenda 24-21. First item will be a swearing-in ceremony. So we'd like to invite Kathy Brent Brakefield to be officiating the ceremony for swearing in, as well as oaths for our mayor and council elects.
So, do we start with mayor? Would that be the correct order of events?
All right.
Do I come here or do I come here?
Sure, that's someone.
Okay.
It's nice that people can actually walk around.
And is there a particular order?
No.
One or the other? Would you like to read that, please, sir?
I, Justin LaChance, for the Municipality of Carmacks, do affirm that I am a Canadian citizen, that I am not in any way disqualified from holding office of mayor. That I have not, nor will I have, while holding office, any interest, direction, or indirectly in any contract of services connected with that said municipality, except such I may lawfully have under the provision of the Municipal Act. I have not, by myself or any other persons, knowingly employed or
Sorry.
Oh,
Uh, employed any bribery.
employed any bribery, corruption, or intimidation on it to gain my election. That I will not, without due authority in that behalf, disclose or make known any matter that comes to my knowledge by persons of my office, and that I will faithfully perform the duties of my office and will not allow any private interests to influence my conduct in public manners.
Excellent, sir. Just like
I don't read all that. Can I
that. It's a different swearing. All right. And there is sure. That's your oath of office. And then this is your oath of allegiance, sir.
Yeah. I, Justin LaChance, affirm that I will be faithful and bear true alliance to His Majesty King Charles II, his heirs and successors according to law.
All right, this opportunity. Mayor, I take the honor in presenting you in the official pendant for taking on the role of public office as mayor for the Village of Carmacks Municipality, Incorporated, in 1984.
Matthew?
Congratulations. There we go. All right, next I would like to invite Deputy Mayor Dennis Mitchell up for his affirmation.
That can be discussed later.
If you want me to, Dennis, I can read your bits and you can just say yes.
Yeah, good. I do.
Exactly. Okay. I think you got to stand up, though. I'd be official and all.
Good, I've been sitting down all day and I'm achieving.
Exactly. Okay. So you can say the first part.
Okay.
Hi, Dennis Mitchell. That part.
I'll read it. Hi,
Okay.
Dennis Mitchell for the Municipality of Carmacks. Affirm that I am a Canadian citizen, that I am not in any way disqualified from holding the office of councillor, that I have not, nor will I have, while holding office, any interest directly or indirectly in any contract or services connected with this said municipality, except such as I may lawfully have under the provisions of the Municipal Act. That I have not myself or any other person, only employed, any bribery, corruption, or intimidation, beginning of the election. All you people that I paid to elect.
And we say in Chile.
That I will not, without due authority, on that behalf, disclose to make known any matter that comes to my knowledge by reason of my office, and that I will faithfully perform my duties of office and will not allow private interest to influence my conduct in public matters. I can't read, I just don't want to.
Yeah. That's a lot. Okay, one more. That was your oath of office. This is your oath of allegiance.
I Dennis Mitchell, affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the majesty. I'm Irish, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Allegiance to the majesty, King Charles II, his heirs and successors according to the law.
Oh, yes.
Goodness gracious.
Don't tell your grandma.
Don't hit me.
When I read.
Or arrest me.
You're now a counselor. Well then.
I don't really know how to start extracting time.
Thank you for putting yourself out there.
Right. Next week, we'll invite Councillor Corey Belmore for affirmation.
Did you prepare the Oath of Allegiance?
And then I filled it in?
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe it's King Charles III.
Oh, that was what came out. That came up with it. Like, that was with it.
But
that,
oh, well, well,
got, that's what the Yukon government.
It was a template that came from them.
My God.
That's right. You're Corey, right?
I'll let Samantha Crosby and Jennifer.
See, there you go.
It's all by me, too.
Didn't pledge allegiance to the current king. Good.
I, Corey Belmore, for the municipality of Carmacks, do affirm that I am a Canadian citizen, that I am not in any way disqualified from holding the office of councillor, that I have not, nor will I have any, while holding office, any interest directly or indirectly in any contract or services connected with the said municipality, except such as I may lawfully have under the provisions of the Municipal Act. That I have not, by myself or any other person, knowingly employed any bribery, corruption, intimidation to gain my election. That I will not, without due authority in that behalf, disclose or make known any matter that comes to my knowledge by reason of my office. And I will faithfully perform the duties of my office and will not allow any private interest to influence my conduct in public matters.
Allegiance.
I, Corey Belmore, do affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles III, his heirs and successors according to law. That's
interesting. Is it one of those Scotland England things? Is it one of those like third in Scotland and second in England? I don't know.
All right. If you would like to invite Councillor Tara Wheeler for her affirmation of office.
There you are, Miss. Thanks. I, Tara Wheeler, for the municipality of Carmacks, do affirm that I am a Canadian citizen and that I am in any way disqualified from holding the office of councillor, that I have not nor will I have while holding office any interest directly or indirectly in any contract or services connected with the said municipality, except such as I may lawfully have under the provisions of the Municipal Act, that I have not by myself or any other person knowingly employed any bribery, corruption, or intimidation to gain my election. That I will not, without due authority in that behalf, disclose or make known any matter that comes to my knowledge by reason of my office, and that I will faithfully perform the duties of my office and will not allow any private interests to influence my conduct in public matters.
A long sentence.
And I, Tara Wheeler, do affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles III, his heirs and successors according to law. Congratulations.
Next, I would like to introduce Councillor Doris Hansen for affirmation of the office.
I, Doris Hanson, councillor elect for the municipality of Carmax, municipality of the village of Carmax, that I am a Canadian citizen, that I am not in any way disqualified from holding the office of councillor, that I have not, nor will I have, while holding office, any interest directly or indirectly in any contract or services connected with the said municipality, except such as I may lawfully have under the provisions of the Municipal Act, that I have not, I myself or any other person, knowingly employed any bribery, corruption, or intimidation to gain my election, that I will not, without due authority in that behalf, disclose or make known any matter that comes to my knowledge by reason of my office, and that I will faithfully perform the duties of my office and will not allow any private interest to influence my conduct and flow of matters. So help me God. I, Doris Hanson, do swear that I am that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles III, his heirs and successors according to law.
Sure. If you'd like me to change it to the third, I will.
Should I have signed up there?
Yeah. Yeah, you signed up. Signed it.
I signed yours.
That's okay. Congratulations.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Kathy Brent Brakefield for officiating the swearing in and oath ceremony for the new public office term for the Village of Carmax. And now I will be handing over the meeting for officiating and activities to Mayor Lucas.
Thank you, Matthew. Welcome all. Congratulations. I just want to start off with a moment of silence for a few passings in the community recently. Pat Winfield, Walter Van Fleet, and Giselle Larkin. So if we could just take a moment and have a few thoughts to ourselves. So thank you. Thank you for that. Adoption of the minutes, our regular meeting of October 15th, 2024. Or sorry, motion of the agenda, please.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor? Motion to adopt the amendments of regular meeting of October 15th, 2024.
Make a motion that we accept the minutes of the meeting.
Like you guys were there.
I guess I was. Of the meeting of September, October 15th.
Seconder. All in favor. Okay. Delegations. Megan Johnson.
Okay.
You have the floor.
So first of all, congratulations for familiar faces, mind you, you all are familiar. So I hope this message finds you well. I'm here today to request permission to keep a small number of meat chickens on the country residential property located on 9 Willowgrove Road. The number that I'm seeking is 20 to 30 chickens, which is currently above the limit for country residential. Currently, it states that you're allowed having 15 chickens. I currently have 8 layers, so I'm seeking, like I mentioned, 20 to 30 meat chickens. So as my family navigates rising food costs, we are interested in raising meat chickens as a way to provide ourselves with a sustainable source of protein. This initiative not only supports our food needs, sorry, but also aligns with our desire to engage in responsible and self-sufficient practices. I plan to build a temporary coop that provides ample space for the chickens to thrive and flourish in a healthy environment. The coop will be designed to ensure their comfort and well-being, allowing them to exhibit natural behaviors while keeping them secure and protected from other factors such as dogs, foxes, wolves, and trap-ins. I am committed to following any local regulations and guidelines regarding livestock. I appreciate any consideration towards my request and would be happy to discuss this with any at any further convenience, and I'm open to any questions as well.
Any questions for Megan?
Not at this time. Yeah. Thanks.
I guess the motion would be to revise the bylaw.
Well, as the
Well,
bylaw
bylaw reads.
within the bylaw, we do have the ability to pass a revised application, and that's where the state we're at right now is determining what would be allowed in the revised application. So if we have the request of up to 30 hens, we have 14 days to review that application request.
So she needs to submit the application first.
Well, this is pretty much this
This is
process.
essentially the
Yeah,
application.
this is essentially the application.
Anybody?
I'd have to review that section of the bylaw. So I knew she was coming to talk about chickens, but I didn't know.
I didn't realize this was the application process.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as the bylaw reads, it says that you can apply for a special kind of permit, but there's not an actual like permit
There's no schedule.
application,
Right, there's no
which
schedule.
is wanting to before you guys seeking permission to have a small number of meat chickens. At the same time, too, with meat chickens, you harvest them after 7 to 9 weeks, so this wouldn't be a long term by any means. And I'm also willing to get permission from my direct neighbors as well to ensure that it's not bothersome, because some chickens can be noisy. Most chickens, if they were to crow, aka roosters, would be at a reproductive state, but you harvest them quite early.
When would be
So I would be giving them the feed store does their orders around April, so between April and May, and then they would be harvested middle to July to end of July at the very latest.
my only question is this going to be continued at 30
Depending upon
instead
the
of the 15?
success of it, we might do it for about 1 to 3 years. As my child and hopefully children get older, we are looking to travel more. But as many know, having animals, especially livestock, kind of hunker you down for a couple years. So we're only looking to do it for a few years. And I also can like bring in the permit annually if that if you guys see that to be more fit.
Noise to neighbors would be the only thing that I'd have a concern with.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind.
So Ms. Johnson's request does meet all the requirements of the ordinance for exception outlined in the bylaw.
Right on. Thank you for your
Thank you.
very.
Anything further? Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
So we have Devin and Jonathan from Balance Biogas.
Also have a presentation. Yes.
Sorry, he's not much to me out of here. Thank you for
Thanks,
your
Megan.
time.
I'll have
Nine.
to Megan shortly.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
No worries. No worries. Thank you, Megan. That part? No, this is just for audio USB.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan Osborne. I'm the CEO of Boundless Biogas. That maybe click over to the intro. We founded Boundless Biogas back in 2018 with a vision of creating a new paradigm shift in waste management, focused on taking the innate energy within waste and generating valuable byproducts from that material that can be returned back to the community. And the background of myself, I'm a renewable energy project manager. I've been doing that for the last several years. I'm an electrician since 2010, and a strong background in public procurement and contract writing. I've been really investigating this for nearly 10 years. My partner, Devin Yukura, introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ron Devin. Own a business called Balance Environmental. I'm an environmental and waste management consultant. I've been living in Whitehorse since 2009 and doing environmental consulting since then. My background is waste management in general. I do a lot of permitting and regulatory work. Yes, I have water license work. I have a strong background in research, data analysis, and sort of more of like technical side of things. John and I have been working together for close to the last decade, pursuing our passion of more sustainable waste management and waste energy. So that's what we're here to talk to you guys about today.
So a little bit of an intro. I know we know a couple of the counselors here, and there's some new faces. So congratulations, guys. And part of the reason why we're here is to talk to you specifically and introduce you to the concept that we've been developing. Back in February of this year, we made a presentation to that current council, and something similar to this. And so we really wanted to take this opportunity to reintroduce ourselves to everyone, the new faces, as well as give a little bit of an update on the work that we've done so far to move this initiative forward. So the concept is based around two unique pieces of waste management technology. One is here's a biodigester, or it's known as an anaerobic digester, and on the other side is a gasifier. And the unique value proposition that we have for that is that you can run gasification systems with the methane gas that's generated from an anaerobic digester. Really simply, anaerobic bacteria break down organic material in an air-free environment and release methane gas. And that methane gas can be captured and used to power a gasification system. So we didn't want to get too down into the weeds of the technical stuff, but we've spent a lot of time researching this. And the main focus of it is, as you can see on the top left, we take food scraps. That's all organic material can be taken and put into an anaerobic digester. In the same, you can imagine a digester as a stomach. I mean, feed it the right recipe, and that stomach's going to be happy. The bacteria there are going to produce lots of methane gas and give you a lot of energy from that material. There's also byproducts that come out of a digester, which is liquid fertilizer. In the same that a composting system works, that breaks down organic material, and the material that's left you can return back to your soil and grow food with this. All the same nutrients is kept in this process. It just comes out in a liquid form. And then on the right-hand side, we did a feasibility study to analyze the efficacy of using paper and cardboard products, as well as used motor oils to fuel the gasifier or be used in the gasifier. And the gasifier system is it's quite different. It's not the same as incineration. It's a heating process that off gases the material in the gasifier. And then the off gas from that material is combustible. And that's where the rest of the destruction of the material is in place. Technology that's available is off-the-shelf technology these days. We engage with digester company out of Seattle. We actually flew down there at the end of August to see the manufacturing facility. And the gasifier company that we work with is out of Montreal. And that piece of equipment meets the world's most stringent air emission standards and waste destruction standards, as well as standards for material that's left over to be able to be directly landfilled. But one of the key things that we, our concept is doing is we want to take the paper and cardboard materials, so as also we could use waste wood in the same manner, and use the gasifier to transform it into something that's called biochar. Biochar is basically almost 100% carbon, and that's the material that's left over after that carbon-based material has been gasified. And that stuff as well is a very valuable soil amendment and can be used directly in the compost, mixed into the compost and material to improve your growing process. And so the concept that we've been developing and what we've already pitched to the municipal council back in February was to develop a pilot project here in the community. And yeah, I just wanted to introduce this. As I said here, our vision is to utilize innovative technology to generate value from waste. Through on-site waste processing, reducing waste management costs, as well as generating growing community well-being and sustainable development. Devin, you want to go to the next slide, or I have anything to say here?
One of the sort of key components of our concept is we're really trying to minimize waste transportation. Like a lot of the waste in the Yukon, it gets, well, in the communities, gets collected, brought to Whitehorse, and then once it gets to Whitehorse, it's trucked to Alberta or British Columbia and whatever happens to it there. So, you know, one of the things that we're really interested in and what we see value in is trying to minimize that transportation of waste outside of the territory. We're trying to sort of rethink of that waste as more of a resource instead of just like a product that we're throwing out. We want to try and get some value from that material. So, you know, food scraps and the cooking oil, there's a lot of energy value in that material. And we want to use that energy to operate the gasifier, which can process even more waste. And then just one comment about the energy from the gasifier. It's hot water. So that hot water, we want to recycle that energy from the gasifier back into the digester to create that closed loop system.
Yeah, and the concept that we were working on already with the landfill here was that gasification system, what that output of the heat can be used in a district heating system. So right now there's the center building as well as the site attendant building, and possibly a future equipment shop going in at the landfill. All three of those buildings could be heated from this process without requiring any additional fossil fuels of any kind. All of this energy would be generated on site, and we've done a lot of research, and there isn't really anybody who's ever looked at something like this using the two pieces of equipment together. So it's incredibly unique. We can bump to the next slide because that slide's the feasibility study.
Sure.
The results. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I can talk about this.
Let me introduce the feasibility.
Sure.
And then,
yeah, go for it.
So we got some funding from the government of Yukon through economic development to do a feasibility study. And that's where we started engaging with the CarMax community back in February. And so again, we wanted to take this time to introduce you guys to some of the results of that feasibility study. And from our perspective, looking at it for as long as we have, this is really exciting stuff to see these numbers. And I wanted to give Devin a chance to talk to you guys about what you're seeing there.
One of the first components of the feasibility study was to look into the like the waste generation in the Yukon. So we analyzed as much data as we could, and we got data for each of the communities. So just to summarize the waste data that we did collect for CarMax. So annually, or in 2023, there was approximately 531 tons of municipal solid waste generated in this community. Some of that, the main volume was organics, so 122 tons. And I know the community is implementing a compost program right now, but prior to all of those organics have been going into the landfill up until now. There's 53 tons of paper and cardboard that were approximately generated. That material has all been trucked to Whitehorse and down south, likely to Vancouver. 90 tons of plastic, and we estimated about 6,000 liters of used motor oil generated in the community. Based on some data we got from Yukon government, in 2018, the village of CarMax spent about $174,000 on waste management expenses. So part of the feasibility study was looking at using the waste data. What value could that waste provide in the sense of energy potential and that the liquid fertilizer and the biochar? So based on that 122 tons of organics, there's about 15,000 cubic meters of methane that could potentially be generated in the community. And if you imagine 1 cubic meter methane is equivalent to about 1 liter of diesel. So, we're looking at about 15,000 liters of diesel if all that organic material was digested. Using the gasifier, we estimated about 191,000 kilowatt hours of thermal energy. So that's that hot water. I think my house is about 2,500 kilowatt hours per month. So that would be 15,000. I meant to do the math, but
it's hard to translate those into direct, like into what the energy value is, but this is where we get the idea that the confidence that the recycling center, the attendance shack, and an additional building, as well as actually the anaerobic digester, because the digester needs to be kept at the same temperature as our body, which is 36 degrees Celsius. So all of that energy can be utilized on site. Lost it.
Anyways. That liquid fertilizer that we were talking about, there's about 20,000 liters of that. So that material could, as part of the pilot study is we're interested in having a community greenhouse at the landfill. So all of that liquid fertilizer we're interested in using in the greenhouse. There's about 9,000 kilograms of that biochar material. And if you've never heard of biochar, it's like a soil amendment. So it's often used for like monitoring reclamation or anywhere where you're like looking to improve soil quality.
Fascinating little bit about biochar is that there's a soil that was discovered in the Amazon rainforest that is literally hundreds of years old and multiple meters thick. And people couldn't believe that once upon a time there was large populations and communities and cities in that area because they didn't think that you could do agriculture. Well, once this soil was discovered, they determined that one of the key features of that soil was biochar. And so the peoples of that area had really already understood the fact that you can utilize the carbon from organic material to improve your soil. It holds more water, or it holds more nutrients, as well as gives something for the roots to connect to. And so it's actually a pretty incredible material. And we can make that out of paper and cardboard, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the last point there. One of the main features of our feasibility study was we were, you know, trying to put value to, you know, some of these, like the energy potential and the fertilizer. And then we ultimately wanted to understand, like, what's the sort of the economic or the revenue potential from this concept. So the number that we came up with was about 120,000 of revenue potential. So that's things like generating that on-site energy, not having to, you know, bring in diesel for heating, being able to sell that liquid fertilizer or use it locally, as well as the biochar.
And savings on transportation costs as well. One of the items that we saw in the analysis was that it's up to $17,000 or more a year spent for direct cost to the village of Carmax for transporting materials from the landfill down. And so that would be things like used motor oil, those types of costs usually land in the lab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it, all in all, we really wanted to say that what we saw was quite promising as far as like a valuable business case for doing this type of work at a landfill, especially at yours. So we all wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update as well on the pilot study that we have been trying to move forward with. As I mentioned before, we did a presentation to the previous council and mayor, and the motion was passed back in February to partner with us to move forward with a pilot study of this nature at the landfill. Certainly have been putting a lot of effort into that, like the main focus. Well, one of the key things that we learned very quickly was that the FCM funding, which is the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, if you're not familiar with it, they required a full yes of application and approvals. It's one of those things prior to even getting the application process going there. So we determined that was quite a challenge. So we've actually initiated on our own the a separate yes of application to do this pilot study at the landfill. So we're the proponents there and we're leading that just because it was the key factor in us moving forward with actually any kind of funding applications. So based on our feasibility study, we estimated that the total project cost would be about $1.8 million. And the majority of that, if not all of it, is could be getting supplied through different funding organizations. The Canadian Community Building Fund is obviously a core fund for your community. And we identified that that is one of the most direct ways to be able to start moving forward and securing some funding. The next one is the Yukon Development Corporation. I had a lot of discussions with them over the summer. It had submitted an application, and unfortunately the application was denied. But the main reason why it was denied was because I didn't do a good enough job of detailing the fact that this project also has a district heating system opportunity in it. And so we've been strongly encouraged to reapply, and they are definitely looking forward to working with us. And then the last fund that we have been engaging with over the last several months is the FCM's Green Municipal Fund.
And that fund has two separate application processes. One of them is actually a competitive process, and that's what we were initially interested in. But we also wanted to bring to your attention that they do have a grant loan option for the Green Municipal Fund. And I've heard that the terms for the loan as well as the grants are like incredibly generous as far as like very, if no low interest, that sort of thing. And so another one, that's another fund that would stack well with all of this work is the Yukon Economic Development Fund as well. Really, the biggest challenge with all of this is lining up each one of those funds to be able to add up to the 1.8 million, because basically what I get every time I go and talk to them is they want to know what's already on the table, if anyone else has already approved, that sort of thing. If any of you guys have worked with other funding organizations, you sort of get that runaround as well. So keep getting very, very strong positive feedback. It's just the process and organizing all of that is taking a little bit of time. It's something that Balanced Biogas and Balanced Environmental Services is spearheading ourselves, because we're so passionate about making this happen and we really want to see it happen. I also wanted to give you guys an update on the work that we've been doing directly for your community as well. Had the pleasure of working with Annette, Matthew, and Jens on a compost collection program we've been developing for the community. With a budget of about $40,000, we've managed to put together, we've procured and delivered 300 household compost bins with a plan to be distributed throughout the entire community. As well as there was a community brochure that we developed with just as information and an update to give everybody the heads up that the program is being developed. We also, just in the process, should have, we hear very soon, procured a public drop-off bin and a long-term storage tent for the compost at the solid waste facility. Really high level, the composting requirements to, at the very minimum, take all the organic material that you wouldn't put into the landfill, be able to compost it, and then spread it out on the landfill, meeting those regulatory requirements. That's part of the process that we've been working on. We're also developing actual compost management plan as far as making sure that at the absolute minimum that all the organic material that gets diverted from the landfill, as you guys could see, up to 122 tons. And I have to say that's actually some of the most dangerous stuff in a landfill, as the organic material breaks down in the landfill, creates leachate, which is the material that draws all the toxins out of other material in the landfill. So doing that at the bare minimum is a really, really positive thing for your community. So we've also been working to help support the community with the solid waste facility development plan, as well as a YESIB application that you guys have been, it's been almost a year and a half now. That's quite the process. YG's been involved. We're talking about some challenges with the land lease boundary that when you guys see what they've suggested, it literally in the middle of the whole process of the YESIB, they're changing, they want to change your entire landfill boundary. And so it's been educational, but also doing my very best to support you guys in managing something that's pretty challenging, which is that it's the regionalization program and adopting all of those regionalization program requirements. We also had the opportunity to participate in the Sewage Lagoon workshop that was put on in August as well. That was really informative. I understand that process has also been a long and challenging one, and we're really happy to be able to be at the table and support you guys trying to get that moving forward. So yeah, we've managed to do all that for a budget of about $40,000.
Yeah, I think that's the end.
Questions?
So I have to say, I sat on council previously, and we went to many FCM trade shows, and we're always told that we can't do that in a town as small as ours. So thank you. Thank you for seeing if it will work in a town as small as ours. Because it over and over, years of, no, sorry, can't do that there.
That's amazing, because that's literally, we spent the first near 6 years going through that whole process, being like, wow, this is amazing tech. This, like, everybody should be doing this. And then people be like, oh, you need to spend, they call what would work at the city of Whitehorse a micro digester in that world. And we went down to Toronto, went to the massive, like, you know, big biodigester Canada things. And we start talking at the scale that we're talking, and people are like, what? And then we start explaining. And this is why what we really transitioned to was marrying it with the gasification system. That gasification system is like probably one of the most efficient units that you'd ever see out there in the world. It's probably 11, like if it was just running on fossil fuels, it's about 11 liters of diesel fuel a day for 6+ hours of operation, as well as when it's not operating or when there isn't someone on site, you can run, automatically run waste oil through it. And so it's still generating that heat. So yeah, sorry, it got me really excited when you realized, right? Like that's the thing. One of the things that the feedback that we got from the Economic Development Fund from my first application was our estimate of the greenhouse gas emission offset, doing what we call a 360 holistic view of it, is about 158 tons of CO2 offset a year. And someone, all I got was the comment was, that seems high. Again, not really believing it. And well, I would like to say to all of you, if we continue working together and pushing this forward, I'm very confident that we could show them all that it's possible and that it is that good. So thank you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure working on this project over the last, I want to say, year and a bit. I was just that introductory email, learned a lot about this process. Going into budget planning for the upcoming season, what kind of CCBF allocation, ballpark-wise, do you think we'll need for the BOC?
Well, the last memorandum commitment was for $100,000, and I think that is still like a reasonable baseline. The real challenge is like trying to make sure that all the funding for all of these different pots all align properly. And then on top of that, getting all the approvals before we can spend any of the money. So as a baseline, $100,000 is a very strong commitment, and that would really like put us forward pretty far. There is still like development needs that need to happen at the landfill to be prepared for doing that feasibility. So I would say that the $100,000 strictly allocated towards the pilot study would go a long way. And then some additional investment in the compost collection program. Mentioned of getting perhaps a wood chipper that really chipping wood and having that carbon source does two things for your compost. One, it is a carbon source for the compost so that you really can develop something of quality, but also helps keep the animals off it and that sort of thing. So it's really a baseline level. So my main goal is to develop a real functional compost collection program for your community as the minimum baseline. The pilot study is a dream, and I think if we all keep working together, we can achieve that. It's just going to take a fair bit of effort and continuing convincing people that it is actually possible.
How long can the compost be held for? Like you're talking about the bin that's been procured and that, like how long is it?
Sure. So my estimates are that, you know, so the bin is it's a pretty sure it's either a 1 or 1.5 yard self-dumping bin. I wanted to get that so that the loader that you guys have can come pick it up and easily dump it into the tent. The estimates are at the high rate, I would guess maybe half a yard a week of organic material will be getting generated and put into that bin. I believe that as the compost program's efficacy and people get more involved, that volume would grow. But those bins aren't particularly expensive to be, like, they'd be pretty easy to procure a second one, and that would give you an additional, like, so my estimate was that maybe once a week you would have to go with the Kubota, pick it up and throw it into the storage shed. And then in the storage shed.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay.
In the storage shed.
in the storage, it's just got you a large 40 by 30 fabric building that the Kubota should be able to drive in easily. And it's very simply spread it there. You have wood chips available, you layer the wood chips on, and then with turning it a couple times over a year, you should be able to take all that material that's been developed there and spread it out on the landfill and meet all those requirements.
So when it's being held in the tent, does it have a shield on the bottom that you put down? So about the leaching that you're talking about?
So the leaching is actually from water running on top of it, and this is why you store it in a covered building. That's the main thing. So it's my understanding that we don't even have to put down a concrete pad or anything. The main reason for putting a concrete pad would only be so that you're not getting gravel and rock mixed in with your material. But I say as a baseline start, not going to be too worried about that. We're trying to keep your costs low and really get the program started first. And then if the program is a success and you guys are liking the direction that it's going, then you can invest further in, you know, putting in a concrete pad, for instance. And but baseline things are like getting a wood chipper, because that also gives you the opportunity to process more material that's coming to your landfill. But
we
then
have to extend the electric fence for better activity.
Yeah. As part of the regionalization, the requirement will be to wrap the entire landfill in an electric fence. That runs us into the challenge that we're having with the lease boundary. We've changed the lease boundary considerably to basically cut out the entire recycling center. Everything, if as you drive in, everything to the left of the attendant building is they're looking to redesignate as not landfill property. I'd happily share the document.
We'll have a discussion about that.
Okay. So I won't dive into that too much. We'll let you guys have a look at it first, and I'll be happy to discuss it with any and all of you at any time. Give you some thoughts. But the other requirement of a compost program is to have that compost within an electric fence. And so part of the plan is to, with the regionalization, put the fence up around the entire facility.
Any other questions for Devin or Jonathan?
That's good, thank you.
Right.
I didn't see this work because I told you guys I heard about this a long time ago. People, like you said, so it can't work, and I know it. I read it when I used to look at directions. People were doing it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do these on really small scale stuff. Like you're seeing people at their farms setting up digesters, very small scale. We actually received funding to build a 220 liter. Anaerobic digester, and we ran that for an entire season, basically in Devin's backyard. It was a lot of fun. And then same with the gasification system. Gasification can be literally as simple as
a couple of 40-gallon drum and a 20-gallon drum in a small chimney. And I've seen people transform waste wood into valuable biochar, and you know, there's barely spending pennies. This stuff is definitely it's achievable. To say the number one challenge that we will face with the entirety of your waste management facility and trying to do any innovative and value generating efforts is going to be the regulatory compliance. And as you guys will and probably are very aware, pretty much everything requires all of that. And that's really where the heavy lifting starts. I think it's totally feasible to do it. People have been doing it for years. It's the challenge is meeting the requirements that are set out before us. Okay, well, thank you so much for your
thank
time.
You.
Guys. Congratulations, everyone.
Thanks, John.
You guys.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Touch base soon.
Safe travels.
Okay, moving on. Correspondence. We have Team Yukon curling donation requests. Patsy Cashin.
Welcome, Patsy.
Thank you. I just want to congratulate all of you, our new mayor and councilor, all new and renew and deputy mayor. And I want to thank you for beginning your first meeting with a moment of silence for our community's recent losses. Thank you for that. This is my first Village of Carmax meeting in my life. Thank you for getting me on your agenda. I'll try and be quick. I'm not sure if you all have the letter that we sent.
Yeah.
You do?
I do. The rest of you do.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm just, we've broken down the list of our funding requests. We're requesting a one-player team remaining cost of $300, a team tournament in Whitehorse, which is going to cost us $250 up this weekend, and team transportation and extra hotels in town. That's also for this weekend. And when we fly down to Barrie, we'd need accommodations the night before and accommodations when we get back, because we're there from November 17th to the 25th. We're committed to this event. We've entered the league curling in Whitehorse weekly, so we go there every Thursday. Through sleet and snow and all that, we're there. We understand the importance of the responsibility, stewardship of resources, and we ensure that the funding is used efficiently and effectively. We have put our league fees into the rec board as well, and we're awaiting approval. We appreciate your consideration of our funding request, and we'd be happy to provide any additional information or answer any questions you may have. You can reach us at my email, wolflover2@icloud.com. Thank you for your time and consideration. We look forward to the opportunity to discuss this event in more detail and explore how your support can help us make a lasting impact. And if you can let us know as soon as possible, we have... I went and got our team's, we have a team jackets that Curling Canada has bought for us. And I've also gotten our team a casual wear from Yukon Built. And we've been putting our logos on the sleeves, and I'd love to add the Village of Carmax logo on our sleeve and wear it proudly. And
thanks, Devin.
Yeah. So just waiting for, we got a few logos on there, and the more logos, we would love to represent our community. CarMax, and I've gotten Yukon Belt to donate some clothing so we can add it to a fundraiser that we're doing while we're there to raise money for Curling Canada to go towards junior curlers. And if our team wins this donation event, we also made a web page, and we can get donations. I've also I took it upon myself to make curling rock pins for every province for curling rock pins, beaded curling rock pins, and I'm going to use that also to towards our donation fundraiser. And if we make the most money, we can earn a grant or something for our curling club. So that's our plan for our donation.
So, thank you. Thank you, Patsy. Any questions for Patsy regarding your request? I just to make a note that I'll have to excuse myself for conflict with my wife being on the team, but let's go team. What is it? Team UConn sub CarMax.
Yeah, we're all wanting to show me women's team from CarMax, and I'm very proud to be a part of that.
You want the 4,400 is what you're asking the village for?
We've broken it down to 1,000, like 1,550 on this one. I think
the one I have says you want $400 for team jackets and shirts, $1,000 for team transportation, and $3,000 for meals.
We've gotten other funding, so we've kind of lowered our.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So you want to share that with them, or do you have those numbers so they could write it down?
$300 for the one player remaining cost, $250 for the team tournament in Whitehorse, and then the transportation and hotels for $1,000.
So $1,500 is what you want.
Yeah.
Would there be an additional donation request for the logo, or is that included in your
request? We could probably like pay for it out of like whatever funding we raised so far.
I think it's awesome.
Do we have it in our budget for donations?
Yeah, it's costing
us. We spent $7,300 on lottery so far this year in the realm.
I just recently
where would
added,
they get from the report?
CDC and then a little sound comment.
That comes from lotteries too.
And costing
so this would be
a it's $105. So, for I think every time they do a logo, it's going to be like $105. So, we need two more logos.
Sorry, I missed that conversation. Does the funding come from the lottery's funding separate from the rec board funding?
No.
It's all the same pot.
It's the same pot. For discretionary requests to such a least nature, yeah. We have more than enough room for it.
What do you want? Do you want
recommendation from the village of CarMax would be this morning.
In this section of the agenda? Or do you want to?
We would like to add that we can have it in the section of the agenda of a motion to support this request.
Like in correspondence?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we support the Team UConn Community's curling donation request for, I guess, $1,605 to cover the logos too.
But you have to say Village of CarMax first when you guys win.
What?
When you win, you have to say, yay, Village of CarMax!
All in favor?
Thank you.
Good luck for your commitment.
Thank you.
Is it televised at all?
There is one sheet that's being streamed. So, like, whoever gets on that sheet will be streamed that day.
Nice.
Yeah, our first game, we have two games. Our first game is against Nova Scotia. Our second one's against Newfoundland, and it's on Monday, the 18th. So I'm not sure which sheet is streamed, but I can let you guys know if you want.
That would be awesome.
I'm sure you'll know.
Thank you.
Take care,
Patsy.
Thanks.
Good night.
Okay, moving on to reports, council activity reports. Doris, would you like to start?
I'd like to congratulate you and the rest of the council on the election. Pleasure to work with you. And I don't have much to report. I wanted to participate in the Halloween party, but I wasn't feeling well, so that didn't work out. And happy to say there aren't very many dogs running around. So that must be a positive thing.
I was trying to get mine picked up after she got in the garbage.
And I think that's it. Thank you.
Dennis?
Oh, I got nothing really to report either. It's busy at work.
I just wanted to mention that I will be unfortunately missing the new counselor orientation and the first meeting in December because I will be out of the country and will not have reliable internet to even Zoom in. I was also going to request adding in our future meetings Atlanta acknowledgement before the meeting, since we are on traditional territory of the Little Sam Carmack's First Nation. I think that's important to recognize. And I really wanted to attend the Halloween festivities, but yeah, I worked till 5. So by the time work was done, everyone was leaving or just having dinner there. So looked like fun.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Corey?
I would like to congratulate everybody for the election. It's super excited to work with this group of individuals. It's going to be fun. And as far as council activity, I have a meeting that I attended today. And I haven't done anything other than that. Community activity, the Halloween stuff was really great. The stuff that I went to was pretty exciting and loud.
I too want to congratulate everybody on their roles and responsibility as elected officials. My report, I've been just busy a little bit with the Remembrance Day, just to let everybody know that we're going to have ceremonies on the 11th at the Rec Center. So do please come, and
Does the village sponsor a wreath?
Yes, they do.
Because last year there wasn't anybody from the village to lay that wreath, so I took it upon myself because I was there.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be that idea to have a designate to do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Doris.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir.
No problem. No problem at all. I don't have anything else to really report other than those two things. So, thank you. Moving on, 6.3, bylaw constable report. Mr. Liam.
It's my little report. We have 3 dogs.
You can come right up here.
Oh, wait, did I stand here, is it?
Sure.
Yes. Wait, those are back right now.
You want to introduce yourself just so everybody knows who you are?
Well, no, my name is Liam Perez. I work the bylaw enforcement here, and I'm happy to be here.
Great.
So office space infractions, we have 3. It's by mutually report. Yeah, traffic bylaw infractions, we have 5. And that's a total of 8 this month. And public encounters, 12. About 20 recorded encounters this month. So that includes just talking to people and whether it be at the shop or whatnot, just addressing their concerns or whatever, you know what I said. And parking violations, this time only have 1. So much important recorded, being tickets and written warrants at 5 or just 5 monthly. And other is 1, that'd be unsecured loads and so forth. That's it for now, yeah. So this month really I've been focusing on collaboration with other emergency services, and worked well with the fire department this month to get a vehicle going with license siren. And thanks to Public Works there for the F-150. And now we have an emergency vehicle fully gone. And it's currently down at the moment with the steering, but it'll be back hopefully within a week. And then in notable occurrences, we have just directing traffic on the highway there, on Lake Highway. And we have, unfortunately, a dog attack involving a child. So that happened in the community and involved the First Nations. So, and yeah, I just think highlights the benefit of by law enforcement in the community. A positive light. No. Any questions or?
When you're talking about infractions, like for parking, or are you talking specifically the highway, or is it in the municipal streets?
In the municipal streets and well, on the highway too.
Like, where is most of the problem area being generated?
Right outside the store, I'd say, is the biggest hotspot for it.
Okay. And do you think it's a lack of signage, or what do you think that... the space that is provided?
Well, I think the signs aren't really that visible, to be honest with you now. There's two of them, restricted parking signs are bent to the side and behind the lamppost there.
Okay.
And then the one across the road, it's awful small, to be fair. You're driving a big semi truck, you wouldn't really see it that clearly, but I think better signs would help, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Would that be a email to Highways and Public Works to like update those?
You can do that from registration's part.
Okay. Any other questions for Liam?
Was the child okay?
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Wait till the Christmas bazaar. You'll see some parking violations there.
Hopefully not.
Big events at the rec center, people forget how to park.
Well, the store is an ongoing problem because there's no parking there, and they just park everywhere, across the road, everywhere. Yeah,
that's the one thing the truck drivers telling me too, that they know where to park, and same time they put a walk. Yeah, almost walk -20, I suppose.
So, what do you think the solution to this? If we're doing a letter to Public Works or Minister of Highways, like, do you have a little bit of an input, or maybe in your next report, some type of solutions?
I think I suggested to yourself there, as you called me before, I think if we could widen that part across the road, that would really help, then make a parking zone or feasible spot for it. Because at the moment, it's just not. It's a public safety. It's a risk.
Yeah.
Especially involving, I ordered two trucks to stop pull over there. And they're oversized and they're parking there. And they're no concern for the people of the village. And their excuse was, they were just passing through. But at the same time, traffic was slowed down to about 10 kilometers an hour. Just driving by. Yeah. So that would certainly help. But that will cost money too, so that's the thing. Yeah. For now, just put better signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Liam? Thank you, Liam.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We have 6.4 fire department report from Chief Vanderkamp. You should have it on your iPads if you guys want to look at that. We can go to the next report, which would be recreation. Chanel.
Yes.
You can do it. You're leaving it.
Well, hello everyone. Congrats on all your new roles. Just a few things. We have some staffing and funding updates at the rec. We secured additional funding from Tristan Undershink, the LCFN Recreation Director, to employ another junior program leader. That position is also funded under the Yukon Government Active Yukon After School Grant until January 10th. Both CarMax Recreation and LCFN will have to reapply for this funding again in January and again in March to keep the after school program free and to have that one additional staff. We also hired another junior staff under the Village CarMax with our YDAP funding. So with both the new hires, we're able to increase the capacity of kids we have in our program. Ice rink and facility sponsorships. On October 28th, we added in 4 ice logos, one of our recreation logos. It looks pretty cool. It looks pretty professional. LCFN has committed to a $25,000 facility sponsorship for their CarMax Arena. In that sponsorship, it includes two in-ice logos, dashboard logos, entrance logos, and hallway banners, and a change room sponsorship logo. For programming and events, we have collaborated with LCFN to host a teen Halloween party and a kids Halloween party. The events are really cool and awesome fun. A lot of people had fun. We had a haunted house at the rec last Wednesday. It was a pretty big hit. A lot of people came out, a lot of people got scared and had a lot of fun. We had to close early due to some of the actors being roughed up a little bit, but overall we all had fun. So we had a family movie night and partnered on that with LCFN. They bought a giant blow-up screen to play a projector on, and they stored it at the rec center because they have no place to put it, but we're allowed to use whenever we want. Nice. That was a lot of fun. A lot of people enjoyed it. Next is the concession. So we were supposed to start the concession in October, but due to being really busy, we found it hard to start it. So we will be starting it in November, hopefully next.
Will there be chicken fingers?
Fingers on the line. Looking ahead, I already mentioned the concession. In the future, I'll just keep updating you guys on more sponsorship initiatives and program developments. Makes sense.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Anybody have questions for Chanel?
Okay, thank you.
Before Chanel heads out, I'd just like to take a moment to bring to Mayor and Council's attention the diligent efforts on behalf of Johnny and Jens Vilmacek. Did I say that correctly, then? Sorry, my final words. Fine. 3 years, you think I would get it. Man, oh, man. But we've had in previous years some challenges in using overtime and additional labor up to, you know, previous fiscal 4 years. $30,000 per year per department. I'd like to commend them both and bring to attention that the Recreation Department and the Public Works Department have used a combined $1,300 between both departments on overtime and additional labor. So, thank you.
That's impressive. Thank you.
That's very impressive. Considering we haven't really cut back on service levels or anything, very impressive.
Working faster and harder.
626 Finance Department report.
Hey, first of all, I want to congratulate newly elected and returning members of Mayor Council. And I start with the property tax update. So we still have two property tax owners that we can't reach. We don't know, they moved or something. So we're trying with YG to get the address. I actually even online Google to find out, sometimes it's on Facebook or so. Yeah, so we are on that, but otherwise we are pretty good this year. So I have attached the expenditure report for October. I'm done with all bank reconciliations, like our general bank account, our reserve savings account, our municipal MF ABC. It's like our guest tax funds account, the interest account. And I have attached the income statement from January to October. So for grants and funding, like Janelle mentioned, we got the, oh no, this is the other one. Okay, recreation strategic plan, we received funding from CCBF. So we did all, Matthew and myself and Prince, we submitted all like the applications, all the invoices, everything. And we were able to close 1, 2, 3 projects. Yeah.
Six in total,
actually. Oh, six in total. But some we asked for extension. Two, yes. So other funding, like Chanel mentioned, we got funding from the government of Yukon for the after school club. And from Little Simon Comics Faith Nation. So we were able to hire another position or student for this position. And we thank Little Summer Council's Nation for their donation for the advertisement. Ice advertisement and sponsorship. Yes. Any questions?
Any questions for Annette?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Annette. And so I'd like to also commend Annette for her hard work. We had a really tough, say, fiscal outlook with some, say, constraints that required new capital infrastructure facilities that were open in the previous 24 months. Annette did a really diligent and key eye on making sure that additionally ancillary spending, utility costs, any of our unfixed costs were really kept in track and recorded accurately. And at this point, we're looking at possibly forecasting on the conservative aspect, possibly a $90,000 surplus on our budget, or on the aggressive, you know, let's say a couple invoices are coming in that were unanticipated, possibly using only between $100,000 to $200,000 in conditional transfer reserves. So,
thank you.
All right,
Mr. Hall.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Also, all senior managers are free to leave.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
We're good there. 6.7 Public Works Operations Department, Jens.
Yeah, congratulations. And yeah, the treatment plant is a normal operation. Flow rate and then operate the normal. The pH and result also oxygen was normal. Arena Rec Center building, arena status, ice maintenance is completed. Drink ready for activities and normal operation. Rec building status, open for scheduled activities, all systems running normal. The landfill is normal operation with snow removal activities. Collection system status normal, system functional. Collection system functional with standard parameters, no issues or disruption reported. The duplex is normal operation, system functional. Duplex system running within normal parameters with no issues or alarm supported. The equipment, normal operation conditions, all equipment in good condition with no maintenance needed.
With the exception of Liam's truck.
That was after that.
Yeah,
that's on the next report.
Comes on the next one.
Okay, sorry.
Recycling is normal operation, sorting and processing, or sorting, shredding, and baling system operate. Wood fire oil status is normal, facility functionality, all systems and service are running smoothly with no issues reported. The same as for a new fire hall, admin building, facility, all office equipment like printers, computers, etc. is functional, normal, with no maintenance issues. The shop, normal operation, all equipment and processes are functional smoothly with no issues reported. Streets, ongoing road repair and snow removal operations. Current focus is addressing road repairs needs while ensuring snow removal from key areas. For extra information, yeah, addressing road repair needs while ensuring snow removal from key areas. Team commitment, yeah, we are doing our best to keep the roads always road repairs and everyone can go to work.
I hope so.
No. Would you stop it? I want a day off.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
I do have to commend the snow clearing because McDade is usually very last. And it was before 8 a.m. that my road was clear. I was looking forward to actually going through the deep snow and having some.
I know people bitch about that. No, you guys are doing great.
Yeah.
As long as it's a team, boys and men, best on you. It's the best thing.
I have a quick question for me. When I was in my first aid course over at the rec center, there was a fire alarm because of something in one of the rooms.
Something
there.
In the Italian area.
Is it okay
yes,
now?
It's okay.
Okay, good.
It was just, we needed to reset in the morning the boilers, and then it was maybe too much fuel in there, and then it just came out.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Good, cool. Thank you.
I can commend you on your response because I am tied into the phone service for the village on the end of the fire department in the third call. So good job on that. I know it's not easy to navigate, and I know Chanel's not here, but mentor on her. The fire panel itself is not an easy thing to operate.
They were really professional. It was amazing to see them work.
But it all got dealt with and
Yeah,
I do have a couple questions on the new fire hall. If you could just give us an update on the generator.
The new generator. They are still working on it to get it operational. Well, it's working actually, but they need to combine it for the new fire hall.
So like the transfer switch type of end of that? Actually switching the power onto the
You don't want them kicking on when the power
and
goes.
And they still need to change the muffler, kind of, because it's right under the...
Okay, computer. Okay. But do you know when?
Hopefully by next week.
As long as we got the generator, right? 2.5 years so later. But
later to make a bend point for that.
And we have trainings and we'll be... Blake and I will show you guys how to operate it and sell.
Okay. I know there's no AFO report though.
No, that was included in the recreation in the future.
Okay. All right. I think that's pretty much all I had for you. Maybe the old fire hall, just on those. Obviously you say it's running smooth or whatever, but the problems that we had with the furnace in there before, has all that been...
Well, now it's all working.
It's all working. Okay.
I don't think.
Curious. Thanks, gents.
And I'd also like to take a moment just to make a brief mention on Jens's work. As everyone knows, he's been developing a lot of his procurement skills, and we got about $700,000 through CMHC and gas tax for TPA additions for our payloader and excavator, as well as grader. And that's a tight budget to fit all three of those ambitions in there. So I'd like to say a little moment of extended gratitude to Jens as well as Max Ailes for bringing on that work and coming up under budget.
So for your deal.
Good night. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Hop up there. Great, folks.
Okay.
What? For the last day, do it a little bit differently. Okay, so first off, I'd like to extend my congratulations to everyone that is now an official elect of public office for the Village of CarMax. Unfortunately, I won't be here for the process of working with you for the next 4 years, but I'll be watching from afar and, with keen eyes on seeing the success that's going to be happening in this community. Do keep an eye out for an email coming out for Friday regarding a request for counselor bios. We will be updating those on the village website, as well as there will be a zip folder coming from me and Prince outlining all updated policies and bylaws over the last term, just so everyone can get familiar with that. We do have outlined a little bit of an overview and annual quarterly and annual expenditure report for CCBF. So the reporting template has been updated just recently. This is alluding to the 8 projects that Annette was aforementioning, as well as our broken down in the CAO report. So we were successful in closing 6 of those projects. As you can see, we were overextended on quite a few of those projects, as well as on the balance. We worked really diligently with our CCBF program advisor, Sandra Soares, on figuring out which projects can we extend and meet the requirements and which ones can we close out and try to get that earmarked money back into our balance for actualization. On top of that, we will be looking at possibly extending the 2 projects that are outlined and highlighted, which are the solid waste management facility upgrade, as well as the aquatic center revitalization. For the new councillors, respectively, Councillor Belmore and Councillor Wheeler, we have given you a copy of the pool contract for the revitalization work, so you can review that on your own time and just have a little bit of scope of what's going to be required there. So we do have a breakdown in bullet point two of all the CCBF project updates. Pretty much every single project has come in under budget. There is still some activities that are required to be completed, but the whole point of doing this process is to free up that earmarked money so that we can reapply for it once we know what activities are going to be next on the agenda. So we have a breakdown of all eight projects there. If there's any further questions, feel free to forward any inquiries my way. We do have an update on some ongoing RFP or request for proposals and tenders. Unfortunately, they are done, but I haven't had time to include them in this package. So please do keep an eye out for an accompanying email in the next 48 hours, just for your opportunity to review the tenders that are aforementioned in this report. So the three tenders that are outlined are our solid waste management plan activities tender to go in with the regionalization efforts. That is, I believe, a $612,000 PPA. We have our Fire Smart brushing tender, which will be going out hopefully in the near immediate future after review from council and the elected officials. And we also have a heavy equipment training tender for our fleet additions. Outside of that, we do have bullet point four, which outlines budget development activities. So last week, we were fortunate enough to have Marilyn Chance join us for the O&M preliminary budget plenary session. So we had all our members of respective senior management overviewing what our O&M needs are for the upcoming 2025 year and what areas do we have for drawing back potential waste. Preliminary numbers are pretty encouraging, as aforementioned. On the conservative aspect, we're looking at maybe possibly a $90,000 surplus with no use of conditional transfers. On a more aggressive approach, or let's say estimate, we'd be looking at potentially using $100,000 to $200,000 in conditional transfers and reserves. We will be overviewing the capital budget on November 6th. I think it's actually been pushed to November 7th, so that'll be Thursday. So we'll send you an updated email regarding that, Mayor. We do have an outlined and detailed attached reserve and transfers fiscal sustainability report, just overviewing the reliance of the municipality on using conditional transfers from our reserves over the last 5 years and 6 years. It's something that we can afford to do for the next little while, but we will reach a juncture where the reservoir will deplete. And right now in that report, it looks like it will be 2029 without any major drastic changes. In that report, we can do some, you know, drastic tax increases, but if we do, as outlined, a 10% tax increase, we're only looking at $55,000 or $57,000 additionally to their reserves in our bank. So that most likely won't be the solution we're looking for. We're most likely looking at either moratoriums on capital projects split between years. It could be a 2025 and 2029. It could be a 2027 and 2030. We could be looking at, you know, drawing back service levels, such as closing on weekends at the rec complex, cutting back on staff levels. It could be a multi-pronged approach of a variety of these options. But please do review those, because they will be need to be, let's say, considered for action, if not this year, definitely for next year. In that report, we do suggest a 3% tax increase for the upcoming fiscal year. We do have a landfill lease issue that we'll be discussing in camera that was aforementioned by our consultants about balanced biogas. This is just pertaining to trailhead access, so we'll go into finite details when appropriate. I do have an attached CAO 90-day plan for the VOC successor, dated for after November 8th, just to go over critical projects, timelines, activities that need to be kept in purview. We do have a public governance training update just outlined here. As aforementioned, it's at the end of this month. Just overviewing pretty much public governance requirements, as well as asset management and strategic planning objectives. Then we do just have a little bit more of a blurb regarding the reserve transfers report and some ongoing budget options, pretty much just overviewing the avenues for mitigation. And lastly, we do have an interim CAO coverage plan, which at this point, and this can be discussed further in camera, but it's looking for the immediate future. It will be a conjunctive oversight provided by respective mayor Chance, as well as a senior management scope, either the finance officer or municipal clerk role on day-to-day operations. Do we have any questions regarding the report?
And are we getting any applications for the CAO position?
Yes, yeah, so actually quite a few qualified ones too.
Yeah,
the last majority of them have been coming in the last probably about 72 hours before it does close on Friday. But there's some very, very encouraging options in there. Very encouraging options.
From Canada too?
Yeah, we actually have a short list included in my folder of about 8 candidates all within the country.
Excellent.
So it's a good start, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, outlined as an attachment further here is just the final financial report on reserves and projections from 2019 to 2024, as well as the 2029. So please do take a look at that and use that as food for thought during the budget practicing, the budget planning practice that will be coming up. And then there is an actual outline of the 90-day succession plan with activities, timelines, and action items. So everyone can review that when they do have some time. But pretty much we're looking at, you know, O&M budget, making sure that you have a provisional motion passed by December 31st, capital budget by December 31st, preparing our asset retirement obligations for the 2025 budget. We have the augmented CMHC housing accelerator plan with groundswell planning that will be overviewed. Staff succession planning and training coordination. So over the last year and a half, we have internally succeeded pretty much every single senior management position, which does come with, you know, professional development requirements. So we've got quite a few of certifications, trainings, facilitated workshops for our staff to overview. I know when Mayor LaChance was respectively at our our O&M budget planning session, we did look at increasing our training budget by about 30% this year just to cover those costs. So staff succession will be, again, a key focus. Potential exploration about the property tax increase, review of BOC dependency on transfer or reserve transfers, and then continuing the consultation with Balance Biogas, who started the explanation process of what's happening as next activities in that pilot project. Lobbying for the Wave Scale TPA allocation to BOC from Community Services. That's been a project that's been going back and forth with Dave Albus here, and we'll have an update about that as well when we're discussing the land issue. Continuing to use the fleet management system through MaintainX and our asset management software. And I guess continuing all the major work we've done on asset management over the last 2 years, you know, we've implemented a capitalization policy that's been updated to the thresholds required, outlined roles and responsibilities for everyone that's involved in this, let's say, culture change, as well as using our asset management, our asset condition registry on a daily basis. So it really affects the culture of our decision-making process. And then also we're looking at, you know, leaving this for the successor, putting a focus on River Drive resurfacing. YGIDB will be doing about a 400 meter stretch, just pertaining to the sanitary sewer upgrades that were completed in the previous year. So that will take away a small portion of it, but we're still looking at additional almost 4 kilometers of River Drive that needs to be addressed too. So that will be a priority for the successing CAO. And then professional development oversight just for the new senior managers and making sure they stay on top of their administrative and clerical responsibilities. Any questions on what that plan process or the report looks like from the administration avenue?
It's a lot.
Yeah, it feels like the last 2 years has been a lot. You know this role well, Corey.
I want to thank you. Oh, that's a lot of work that you gone through perfectly to a T. I just can't thank you enough for your time being the CEO. I want to wish you well on your departure and your endeavors, and we're going to miss you. And I know this was what it was like to go through this, and I can't thank you enough for prioritizing some of that stuff for the 90 days. And for the last week that I spent in your office, thank you very much, Matthew.
Mayor LaChance, as a friend, as a mentor, and as a professional confidant, that means a lot. I won't ever forget the memories and the experiences that I've had here at CarMax. I'm bummed out it's over, but I can't be sad it happened. Like, I'm so glad I was able to go through this. I was a wide-eyed recreation director 2 years ago that didn't know left from right, and it was the people here at this table that believed in me. And I extend that to Councillor Mitchell and Councillor Hansen and the new income or the new respective terms on official, Councillor Delmore and Councillor Wheeler. Again, the faith means a lot. I felt empowered to get the job done effectively. And that's what you want to have as an administrator, right? So I felt like we were lockstep in conjunction, and it truly was a moment in time. So the appreciation is mutual, very mutual. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Counselor. Thank you, Counselor. Thank you, Counselor. Thank you, Counselor.
Moving on to AYC, Doris.
Don't forget the newly elected training on the 29th and 30th. And on the 1st, we have a board meeting. And this is all taking place at the Gold Rush. Sorry, you won't be there.
Should we be appointing, because you are executive, a new an AYC rep that needs to be appointed for this term as well?
Did you want to have that discussion, or are you?
Yeah, we can do that.
Where do we got to be when? What?
Do you want to add it to the other appointment? Sure. No, that we should have done at the beginning.
We point to appointment to AYC.
Yeah. Sorry about that, folks.
Thank you, Gordon.
All right. Then for the bylaws. 7.1 bylaw enforcement title certification bylaw 311-24 for first and second reading.
All right. So background on this bylaw is just to have an official designation of a constable for the purview of the municipal office, or municipal enforcement office. Rationale is predominantly precedent set by two other municipalities in the territory.
I have a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Should this just be part of like the employee bylaw? Are we also going to swear in? We've never sworn in the fire chief, which might be something to talk about as well. I think that there might be more to this, and I don't want to rush it by giving it first and second reading all at once.
Well, I'm happy to give it first reading so we can get it on the table and discuss it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll make a motion to give it first reading. I'll second it.
All in favor? Any other questions, changes after first reading?
Is the term bylaw services constables becoming more prevalent in the Yukon?
Yeah.
Other municipalities?
So two of the municipalities that follow suit, Jersey City, Whitehorse, and Blossom Lake. I believe it's predominantly, and Liam can speak to the background because he has done the research. I believe it was for the judiciary element of the role, wasn't it?
Mostly, yeah. Also, the role isn't just not just an enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with the public and other means, so it reflects it more traditionally in a sense. So,
okay, and so I have a question.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Thanks for that answer. About the point that Councillor Wheeler raised about it being a position of like the, so the municipality can do a bylaw to create the position, which appoints the bylaw constable going forward, and you don't have to do it every single, we don't have to have a bylaw every single time we may have, if we ever have new people to take the positions. But the way this one is worded, we would need a new bylaw every time, right?
Yes. So if there was a new constable in the role replacing Liam in the future, we would have to go through this process all over again. Yes.
Because it's a ceremonial thing.
Okay. Pretty much the rationale why this was written up this way is we had the scope of the municipal enforcement bylaw already completed, read and ratified after three readings. But this wasn't included in there, but we wanted to include in there. But we didn't want to necessarily have to reopen that bylaw immediately.
I also had a question about, I do remember reading that bylaw, and in it, it lists the bylaw officer in that bylaw, the public works, and the CAO as the bylaw enforcement officers. But does the fire chief also enforce bylaws during emergency services? Like, they should be a bylaw.
He does. So that was an oversight on my part. And when we do go through a review of that bylaw, that would have to be an added inclusion.
Any other discussion on changes or clarification?
No, thank you.
So, Corey, you want to change it so that it is a...
I just wanted to know if there was appetite to broaden the bylaw so that
it covers more than just one
service, so that we can appoint the administration has the opportunity to just hire a person, and we're saying there that position is appointed as a enforcement constable, and then we don't have to write a bylaw every time a new person is.
But it would include the fire chief, the CAO, and public works. Is that what you're
saying? That's the other bylaw, though, right?
That's the other bylaw. So we can complete two separate bylaws at that point, yeah.
And this one just says anytime a bylaw officer is appointed, then there would be a swearing in ceremony.
Yeah. Similar to a peace officer type of process or procedure.
It doesn't say who, it says a, so officiated by the VC, so would the VOC mayor be the actual swearing in?
Yes.
Signing
very
off
similar to what I guess the ceremony was with Kathy Renfrey today.
Because I know like school council, RCMP, Notary Public, Justice of Peace, like it, are the officials that can sign off or swear someone in.
I don't know that we, I don't know what changes we actually.
Like what is the verbiage that you want to change that makes it automatic?
I don't think it's this bylaw, but do you believe it's the other bylaw?
Okay.
What in this bylaw says that it has to be done each time?
Well, I guess realistically,
upon appointment, each bylaw service must participate.
The name and address to the person and the individual. So you wouldn't necessarily have to do the ceremony each time, but you'd have to do at least that process.
Well, I think that that's fine, but why would we have to write a new bylaw each time?
No, you wouldn't have to. I misspoke on that, most likely. So all you have to do is go through the process that's outlined in that bylaw each time.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
I misunderstood, I guess.
No, I misspoke.
I think I was mixing it up with the other bylaw. That's all.
So Tara, do you... You got clarification on that?
Yeah, I don't know if the bylaw is needed, though. Just it seems like there's just too many bylaws.
Ceremonial.
Uh-huh.
Like the bylaw officer itself has to have that.
And it would create the difference with a distinction to the public of what a constable is. Because I can speak for when Liam has been in this situation, he has been challenged on the authority of what he does have and what a constable is or isn't. We're hoping to try to remove some of that gray area.
Yeah.
Make his job easier.
Yes, exactly. So people aren't actually challenging authority or challenging maybe the infraction or what the issue is that our officer is bringing up.
No, right? Who the hell are you?
Exactly. Yes.
Go back to where you come from.
I'll raise the question again here. Any other amendments to first reading?
We can't do any amendments to first reading.
Well, any more comments that you'd like to see on first reading?
I'd make a motion that we give it second reading.
Questions on the table?
Yeah, I'll move that. I'll second that, given that we got clarification of the unnecessary need to create a new bylaw each time.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Okay.
There you have it.
Sorry, I went against your wishes.
No, I don't care. I didn't want to rush it if we were, because I was kind of confused about the bylaw.
Okay.
There's a section in here about answers, but I can't remember where it is.
Moving on, 8, new and unfinished business, the appointment of the Recreation Committee Council Delegate. So currently the chair removed. So I would like to open it up for discussion on who would like to be the delegate for the rec.
My daughter works there and will be going back soon, so I don't think it's appropriate that I am.
Thank you, Derek.
Well, soonish. Any other interests?
I would love to, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing anymore. Boy, I can't get a day off anymore. Getting tomorrow off, though. Maybe. I'm on call.
The meetings are about once every 3 months?
No, usually they're once a month. During the seasonal period of the summer, we usually take a little bit of a break. But I want to say our most recent meeting was September or October.
Well, the most recent one is canceled due to passing.
Oh, okay. So.
One coming.
Okay, so no,
it's just some of
but in the bylaw does state that there has to be one at least every 3 months, but then council can have to prescribe something involved.
I tend to use the rec board, so I would prefer if it was not me, but happy to move to put Dennis as the.
I'll try it, but I just board. You know, these 6 o'clock and 5 o'clock meet, I just. No, we're getting written up in the paper all the time that we're not doing our job. We're out there busting our ass the best we can.
You guys did a great
and
job.
You should see what's been written in the paper about us. Oh, well, shit.
I thought you were just mentioning on the anonymous post on the bulletin board.
No, no, this one, the guy put his name right in there. I think it's the one driver.
So is that a yes?
Well, I'll try it, but all I'm saying is.
And show them flexible.
You know, I can't, I don't want to say that I'm going to make every meeting because. And you got to remind me, I'm sorry, I want the Hooter back. I didn't know anything about these Halloween parties. I don't know anything about anything. I wish the Hooter would come back. That was how I knew things. I don't know anything anymore. You guys talking about this Halloween party? I'm pissed that I missed it.
Oh, and I heard the haunted house was very good.
And that I would have loved to have gone through that. I wish we could do something to get that Hooter back. I'm sorry to be a prick. That was my information table.
Should I add it to the 90-day? Successor list?
Yes.
Okay. The 90-day successor list.
Make
a
motion,
I made a motion.
You need a motion, do you?
No.
Yeah.
You want
to appoint somebody?
You did make a motion.
I did. To appoint somebody.
I'll second.
Oh, bring the hood back.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
I know it's not fair to throw that on somebody's table, but it was a great little, like, you know, that's how I knew what was going on with me.
Well, it used to be done by volunteers. I mean, you can put it out there to see if any volunteers are interested.
But the villain used to pay for the paper and printing and all that stuff.
Cutting.
Okay, so Dennis.
Certainly the cutting and pasting.
The appointment of AYC representative for the village of Carmex.
But there was doors.
I
still
the
have
board.
To
do we motion on that? Get all in favor? Dennis?
Yes.
Okay.
First, second.
She said she motioned. All in favor, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, 8.2, appointed AYC representative for the village tournament.
Because Norris is executive, she is the big.
We also get a person and then we, sit on yes. board.
Actually, if you're acting as CAO for a while, the next meeting there'll be three CarMax people.
I don't know that you'd say that.
Because no. you can't vote
so, it. So Doris, you're the representative, but you're also the...
No, I'm not the representative.
You're not the...
You're just the executive.
Yeah.
Giving us an update. Appreciate that.
So who was your last...
Kevin.
Oh.
Don't undershoot him with my rotation. Once he left the term.
I would be willing, but I can't make the next board meeting. But if someone else wants to, I'm fine with that too. I put in a lot of time with AYC already.
I'm not putting a button.
Tara's well experienced to doing AYC. So.
Yeah, my face is in their office. I was the president.
I'll move to have Tara as the AYC rep for the Village of Commons.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Thank you, Tara.
You can have an alternate for your first meeting if you want.
Yeah,
so those rules still are the same.
Yeah, so we will need an alternate for the first meeting on December 1st.
How about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, question period. Anybody in the gallery? Seeing none?
Make a motion that we go in camera.